Hey, what's up? This is Mario with the Rugged 33 podcast, and I'm stoked today because I have a really good friend. I call her B. She's actually a Moroccan Arabic princess. And she said, no, she's amazing. We're really good friends. Go ahead and say what's up, B.
Hello, everyone. I mean, shout out to the one listener, your mom. Hello, Mario's mom.
See how you are.
Hola.
And this is why she drives me crazy. B is like the little sister I never had. That is super annoying, but she's always there for me. If I'm sick, could I bring you something? And being an expat, a teacher, international teacher, we have to rely on each other. And but yeah, she's from Morocco. And let's see, how long have you been in Kyrgyzstan anyways?
I think nearly 5 years.
And where were you before that? Were you in Morocco?
I was in Morocco, yeah.
And so you were born there. When did you leave?
I was born in France.
Oh, that's right.
And then I spent a couple of years in Morocco, and then I went to the UK, and then I went back to Morocco.
Nice.
Yeah.
Morocco, known for the treed goats. I know some of you guys have seen these memes. There's like a tree, and then it has goats standing inside of it, or on top of it.
On top of it, yeah. I mean, they have to get food, right? They're go-getters.
Right, definitely. And last night, for the very first time, I saw Casablanca, because I was like, okay, that's in Morocco. Maybe I could talk about this. And then you bursted my bubble. You're like, it wasn't even filmed. It wasn't even filmed in Morocco.
Yeah. No, anyway, Casablanca sounds nice, but the city is terrible.
Because
so
it's known for love and stuff like that. Like, people want, right? Have you heard? No?
No.
You never heard that?
Anyway, for me, it's terrible. Like, it's just terrible traffic and very dirty and just big city stuff, you know?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So where you grew up, is it more big city, more town?
So me, I grew up in the capital, and there's always like a stereotype between Casablanca is the financial and economic kind of capital of Morocco, and then we have Rabat, which is the administrative capital. And basically, there's always this joke of like people from Rabat, which is my city. They're always like, you know, we sleep at like 10 p.m. We never go out. We're super boring, which is kind of true. We're not. It's not like the nightlife of Casablanca. It's like a moving kind of city. You know, it's alive. It's alive. Yeah.
So it seems like you should be from Casablanca because
no
you
way.
Go out. You go out. Like if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have met half of the people. Like going to like beer quiz and you're like,
it's pub quiz.
It's beer quiz. I know my mom's like beer quiz. I'm like, no mom, it's not a quiz.
It's
on
trivia
beers.
Night, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Cause I have some toxic Christian listeners that'll be like, really? He's, you know, going to beer quiz. But no, we have a good time. I haven't been in a while. When was the last time you went to beer quiz?
Oh, forever. It was too cold.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, we didn't even want to go.
No.
So
no.
You've been here now again, what, 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. I was supposed to be here only for 6 months. And then it just kind of spiraled into like staying here 5 years. The pandemic happened also, so kind of, you know, halted a lot of people's plans.
Yeah.
But no, I have no regrets. I absolutely love this place. So. Yeah.
So what languages do you speak for sure? Because I was on a podcast and I was like, no, she knows Turkish,
no,
Japanese, Thai.
No.
Like what languages do you know?
Look, I can just get by in a lot of countries, let's say. Like, I always try to learn a couple of sentences.
You know Russian really good.
No, look, I know Russian pretty well compared to you, but you're an American. Like, you know no languages. You know, you barely know English. You know what
Dude,
I mean?
Dude, some of the listeners are going to be like, what did she just say? America.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys, but you have to face reality, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's English.
So English, French, Arabic. I learned Spanish also.
Right.
I understand it a lot, but I have lost a bit of it. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd like to practice a bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't practice with you because you can barely speak it.
My Spanish is horrible, but I have been on Duolingo for 30
nice.
Minutes every day listening to Spanish music because I felt guilty when I moved here.
Aww.
I was like, here I'm learning Kyrgyz and I don't even know Spanish that well.
Yeah.
Like, I know enough to understand, but to speak it back to native Spanish speakers, I feel just dumb. You know, I'm like, ugh. And even in Mexico, they have bad names for you. So I'm a coconut or a pocho.
What's a pocho?
It's basically like a coconut. You're brown on the outside, white on the inside. So yeah, they have amazing names for us. I remember one time I bought churros and I didn't say it correctly in Spanish, and the guy grabbed him away from me and he's like, "I don't want, basically, I don't want your money." I was like, "Okay." My dad was so mad. He's like, "You didn't want me to buy anything from him, anyways." But no, I'm like on it. I'm like adamant. Like when I get home, I'll be able to speak
Good.
right.
Well, I mean, the north of Morocco was colonized by the Spanish. So, in the north of Morocco, you'll have people that will speak like like a dialect, like an Arabic dialect. And then and then they'll speak also Spanish because there's only like you can see Spain from Morocco, from the north of Morocco, you can
That's
see Spain.
crazy.
It's like 18 kilometers. I don't know what it is in
What is it
feet.
in
I don't know
miles?
what
Oh
it is
my
in miles
God.
or whatever, okay? Just get with the kilometers and stuff. Come on.
Kilometers is dumb.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna say anything because your listeners are American,
All
but
right.
guys, please learn the metric system.
Why?
Because
This is what's so great about us is that we go by our own drumbeat. It's like feet, inches. Because we use pounds, we use degrees
Oh
Fahrenheit,
my God.
right?
Yeah.
And
How's that working for you?
it's horrible because when I tell you guys, dude, it's 67 degrees outside, and then you're like, what is that? You
Yeah,
know, and
exactly.
even pounds,
Yeah. Well, pounds is easier because you just have to divide, I think, approximately by
yeah,
two,
like
2.5 or
something like
something.
that.
But yeah, I mean, no, look, so we have people that speak Spanish up in the north, and then the rest they speak kind of French. But then everyone speaks Arabic. But it's not the same Arabic as in other countries. It's like really a messed up kind of Arabic that's mixed with French, like
I saw
and Berber.
Berber. What's this?
Berber.
Isn't
So
that like a
basically,
carpet, like a type of
oh my
rug?
God, they do make great carpets.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so it's basically the indigenous people of North Africa.
Oh,
So before the Arabs came, they were kind of pagans, like they worshipped the nature, and then the Arabs came and they brought Islam, and so that's why there is Islam. But then there's also this thing that I never understood with North Africans is that we identify as Arabs, but like the sheer number of Arab people that needed to actually procreate with the local population would have been huge. There weren't that many Arabs. And so when you have like more than 90% of the population that identifies as Arab, you're like, how? You know, that's
Yeah,
just kind of
that's
so.
interesting.
But we don't really know where we're from. Like, we don't know much because we're not a very we don't write things down. We didn't really write things down. We were a very oral culture, so it's like a lot of word of mouth. And it was until the French came, then they started like writing, you know, the last names of people. And then, so for example, my grandfather, his last name was Ghmit, which basically translates as someone who's squinting, because like his ancestors had maybe small eyes, and so that's why he got that last name, you know. So a lot of the last names I don't even know. It's the same as in, I guess, English last names, because you have like Goldsmith or like because they used to be goldsmiths,
Goldsmiths,
right? So I don't know. It's interesting, but Morocco is a very complicated country. I cannot really.
Hey, congratulations to your country because you guys went deep, man,
In
in the
the
World
World
Cup.
Cup,
We were cheering. I remember we went to somewhere bistro and we were watching and you were freaking out. How was that for you? Because us as being Mexican,
you always qualify, and well, us.
I must say we have the record of the most qualified out of any other
But
country.
how far do you get
N
usually?
never. We don't get past like the second round. Like it's like something that, like 13 times I think
That's
it was. It's crazy.
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, us,
Go
it's
ahead.
kind of the same, a similar situation where we qualify a lot of the times, and most of the times we always lose with for dumb reasons,
Yeah.
like own goals, or like we lose against Iran, and you're like, what? How? Like,
Right.
you know what I mean? We have
Yeah.
such a big football culture, sorry, soccer. But we never seem to make it. But now it's like, yeah, we got to this stage, in the World Cup, and even like in Kyrgyzstan, they didn't know anything about Morocco, and then now they're like, oh yeah, Morocco, you guys, like, you got into the World Cup and stuff. But no, I was very, very proud. The only thing, I was a bit disappointed that we lost against France.
Right.
You know, former colonizers. It's like as if, you know, Mexico would have lost against Spain.
Or America.
I mean, those are our rivals. We got to reclaim California and Texas, right?
half of the United States. But I mean, who's counting?
Right.
We are, you know. No, but I think it's, I just thought it was interesting, like Morocco, because I was doing some homework and I was like, dude, they, like, the Pentagon. I didn't know that you guys had a pen. I seen your flag, but I didn't realize it was a pentagram until I read about it. I was like, oh.
It's like a star.
I was
so,
like,
it's supposed to represent Islam.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like the Islamic star, let's say.
Okay. And then on the other thing, too, about Morocco. Well, I had one friend from Morocco, and his name was Hassan.
Okay.
Probably Hassan.
Hassan.
Yeah, that was his name. Anyways. Really nice guy, good guy, invited me to Morocco, but I was like, nah, I'm cool. I think I'd rather go to Cancun, Mexico.
We always invite people. Like, we'll meet you for 5 minutes, but like, hey, you should come visit our family. And you're like, what?
<That's>
We love inviting people.
Well, you know, when I went to your home, so hospitable.
Oh, thank you.
And totally, like, I think it's hospitable to, like, another level, because Mexicans are hospitable. I mean, we have sayings, you know, my house is your house, you know. And so when I went to your house, it was just so comfortable, so chill. And actually, I haven't had Moroccan food yet. Maybe maybe
you've had Moroccan tea. Be happy.
No, okay, so I'll say this, guys, if you ever get a chance to have Moroccan mint tea, that's what they're known for. And it's amazing. And today, when B came over, she brought me this baggie full of green stuff. And I'm like, and then I smelled it. I'm like, okay, it's definitely mint tea.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story. But I can't wait to try. The green tea is amazing.
Oh, good.
I wonder, is it just like a different mint or?
It's a different mint. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm sure if you taste like, I don't know, tomatoes from Mexico and tomatoes from the US, you know, they would taste different. There's just something different about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the soil, maybe water. But I'm sure it's picked by the same Mexicans.
right. Yeah, we're the workforce.
You're the workforce.
I totally get it. So I wanted to talk about this too. It's Ramadan time.
Yeah.
And a lot of the listeners, they don't know what Ramadan is or even what it's about. So I wanted to get into that, where we could share what Ramadan is and a little bit what it's about. So about Ramadan, how do you prepare for Ramadan? Because it's a time of fasting.
Yeah, so it's a time of fasting, but you have to think of it as a time of fasting, not for just like food, but just temptations. So it's really, I think people tend to really focus on the food aspect, but I mean, you know, whenever you say, oh, I'm doing Ramadan, everyone's like, wait, but does that mean even water? You cannot even drink water? And I'm like, no. It's like, what about cigarettes? No, you cannot smoke cigarettes, you cannot have chewing gum, even though if you don't swallow it, it's still like you're not fasting.
Yeah, and you can't even swallow.
No, like you cannot. But so the thing is that in Ramadan, it's a time to kind of think about religion. It's like a pause in your life. I think we get really swept up in daily life, and I think that, I guess, you know, you're also kind of a religious person, and so your faith, you kind of have to actively think about your faith and be a practicing Christian. And so it's just, you have this month where you're supposed to give to needy people, you're supposed to just think about God, read the Quran,
be nice, pray, to your friend Mario,
be nice. I mean, I think, you know, Mario, he even noticed the difference with me. So I don't know, the listeners of course don't know me, but I'm a very how can I say this diplomatically about myself, I'm a fiery person, let's say.
Like an Arab woman, as you would say.
Yeah, let's just say, you know, it's like, what is it? Crazy black lazy? Just put crazy black, like Arab woman. And so I tend to kind of be spontaneous in my reactions. And some cursing, some cussing sometimes,
Yeah.
but during Ramadan, you know, I'm a much calmer version, and everyone is like, wow, you should just fast all the time. So
Yeah.
I take offense to that, got all of you.
Yeah, well, it was funny because I remember we're hanging out and you were just being really nice and kind and gentle. And I was like, I love you, Ramadan. And you're like, you dummy. It's not, it's not like Ramadan's a person, but I was like, Ramadan, don't go away.
The thing is that you were not even the only one that said that to me. Like, even my friend Morgan, as you know her,
Right,
she was
right.
just like, oh my God,
But
Pusha,
she's
you're
a
so
Frenchie.
nice.
She's a Frenchie. So
I
they're like,
mean, no, but
but if she listens,
so,
sorry,
no,
Morgan, like,
and
you're
I don't
cool.
think she'll listen.
All right.
Who knows, huh? But anyway, so yeah, no, it's just a time. So it's one of the five pillars of Islam. And so the other pillars are prayer every 5 times a day, the fasting, going to Hajj, which is going to Mecca. You perform the pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. And then it's the kind of jihad, like, how can I explain this? Like,
Yeah, please explain
the
it because people from
jihad.
the West, they're like, jihad, what the heck?
Oh,
Somebody's gonna blow up something? Go ahead.
wow. Okay, so
Yeah.
jihad, this is the thing that really gets me kind of riled up, is that I know in the media you hear this word a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, what it is, jihad, what it translates to is struggle. And so what it means is that God is not saying, of course, you know, we had the Crusades, and yes, you have to try to expand the religion, etc., etc. But the most important jihad, the one that God is really kind of looking for, is the jihad within, the struggle within, of like trying to keep your faith
Nice.
in a world where, you know, you have temptations everywhere
Heck yeah,
and
yeah.
distractions and things like that. And so that's why I think that all these, you know, for example, ISIS, you know, you had
Yeah.
all these jihadi guys that went there. And I feel like it's just so much easier to go to another country, get some guns, and shoot and create like this Islamic caliphate where you're allowed 5 million wives and you're allowed to do whatever you want, instead of actually trying to be a good person. Because most of these guys that did this, they were living in the West, and they were just completely disenfranchised, you know. They didn't feel like they belonged, and I can understand that, but like that doesn't really give you an excuse to go and kill people. And so I think it's just like a cop out. I think it's just like the easiest thing for me, because it's so much more difficult to actually try to improve yourself as a person, whereas just to go and have like this bigger goal of, oh, we're gonna make a country and we're gonna like set the rules and we can do whatever we want, you know? And there are so many things I think that in Islam that are like open to interpretation. And I think that the problem with organized religion, and this is not a critic to like the religion, I want you to like see this as a critic towards the organization of the religion in a
I
sense.
understand.
And so I think that the fact of the matter is, you have men that are dictating things to worshippers who are men and women. There are men and women of color. And so I think that the interpretation can be a little bit skewed and in favor of a certain group. And so I think that, and it's not, I mean, I can't fault people for doing that, because they're humans, you know.
Right.
And so this
That's
is,
their interpretation. That's
yeah,
what,
of course, of course. I just feel I would love to see more female scholars, you know, female Muslim scholars that are there, you know.
And so I was going to ask you about that, being an Arab Muslim. Is that what you identify with? Being an Arab Muslim woman, you know what I'm saying? Like, in what it seems like a very man-dominated religion. How do you deal with that, man? Even with
So
culture, religion, like, what does that look like for you?
for me, that's why I always say to myself, don't look at the people, look at the like the text if you want to judge a religion. Because everyone, how can I say, adapts religion in their own way. And some people will adapt it more strictly into their lives, and some of them will do it more freely. The thing that I have is, it kind of goes back to my previous point of, you have male Muslim scholars who are talking about, you know, a lot of issues that affect women, and they're interpreting the Quran in a way that really doesn't make sense. For example, Saudi Arabia, you know, women cannot drive. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does it say that a woman cannot drive. Mm-hmm. There weren't cars back in the day, you know? So
right.
This is like, there's also the issue of polygamy, for example.
I could barely handle one wife, like multiple wives, because I've seen some guys, you know,
yeah.
Here, I'm like, whoa, dude.
Well,
like,
here it's illegal, actually.
Oh,
they're not
really?
Supposed to have it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
it's
know
actually
that.
Illegal. No. So, for example, my interpretation of this
yeah.
is that you had the Prophet Muhammad. He's our last messenger. And so in Islam, we also have Jesus and we also have
right.
Moses. So,
right.
you know. We call Jesus Isa, mm-hmm. by the way. So
and even in Muslim culture, Muslim teachings, it says that he's going to come back and judge Jesus.
Well, not this. I'm not so sure.
Okay.
But
okay.
there is going to be
wrong.
Not Jesus, but there will be, you know, kind of like this. Like there will be an apocalypse,
okay.
and there will be someone that
okay.
will, you know. So basically what my interpretation
yeah.
of this is that in the Quran it says, oh, you know, the Prophet, he had like multiple wives, but you can only have multiple wives if you can treat them equally.
Right.
But we know that the Prophet was above other people. And so, yes, he was able to treat them equally, but the common man cannot treat or, you know, it's
yeah.
just not possible. Even if you have kids, you don't treat them equally. Like,
right.
and so I think that, and so for me, that just means that, no, it was only reserved for the Prophet and not for the common man.
I see.
But of course, you have other people that want
yeah.
to interpret it in another way. And so
definitely.
For me, it's like, okay, you should have the freedom to interpret the religion as you wish, but you should not have the right to impose it upon me. Like, that's the thing. And so a lot of guys that actually get a second wife or a third
mm-hmm.
wife or whatever, you know what motivates them, you know? It's like
yeah.
they just want a newer model, let's say. They have their wife, she's gotten old, now they want to get a new one. And then it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so there isn't any kind of religious motivation. It's just more like, oh, I have the right, so I'm going to use it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, and the Prophet was married to a woman that was a businesswoman. She was richer than him. She was older than him. And there were a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to forget these things, you know,
mm-hmm.
like they say, for example, that the mom, heaven is under the feet of the mom. That's what
mm-hmm.
we say. It's in the Quran. And people like they just, you know, some like it's as if the woman kind of like her place gets lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I mean, I've seen it here as well, you
mm-hmm.
know, just the way women get treated and other cultures.
Yeah,
yeah. But because I'm in Kyrgyzstan, then this is what
I see. Of course. But I think that it's not religion. I think it's just plain sexism. You know what I mean? Even in secular countries,
okay.
I think that there is this, like, you know,
yeah.
Sexism. But I think there is one thing that really bothers me is that when people look at a woman wearing a burqa or a woman wearing the veil, and then they judge.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that doesn't... Why is it different than someone judging a woman wearing a miniskirt?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It should be her choice.
Right.
My mother wears the hijab. She has never asked me to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
But she chose. She likes to do it. You know, she likes
mm-hmm.
to wear it. And I just think that it's very condescending to kind of assume that every single woman that is veiled, oh my God, she is suffering in the heat. Oh, and you know, like,
mm-hmm.
it's, no, if she wants to kind of not show herself, she's allowed to.
Right.
But then the burqa, for me, I understand. Like, the complete veil,
yeah, yeah.
I understand in the sense, if you're in a public space, you want to be able to see people's faces because
right.
it's also a security thing. And I can completely understand that because us, we don't have this culture of wearing the burqa. Like,
oh, really?
If you go to Morocco, the women are not wearing black, you know? It's
oh,
like
okay.
colorful headscarves, colorful dresses. And
nice,
so
nice.
It's not, I think that people have this certain image of the Muslim woman as being the sad, you know, woman that's like at home and
taking advantage of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just think that like it's just you're painting with a broad like brush, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's just unfair, and I think that the Western media doesn't help a lot with the situation.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too, especially with the hijabs and then what's the
burqa?
Yeah. Because there's women here in my building that wear them. And at first, I just didn't know, like out of ignorance, I just don't know.
Of course.
You know, and so I wouldn't talk to them, nothing like that. But every single woman that I've met like this have always been nice, always been very kind, thoughtful, hold open the elevator for me. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Because you know, but that's as much, especially one of the girls here, she wears like the full on black and then she has glasses,
Oh,
you know, and but she's really, really nice. I see her in the store. So I think for me, it's a lot of it is out of ignorance, just like not knowing.
it's just basically what you get in the media. Like, I don't blame people for having certain misconceptions, because if I were to just base my thoughts like on what I see in the news, I would also have these kind of thoughts, right? But
Right, like Mexicans, you're like
gang.
cartels could hook you up with weed, you know, like I don't know, yeah. No,
No,
I get it, I
but
get it.
it's just this thing of like, I mean you've kind of lived this, right? Like when you go to passport control, it's like, oh, you have all these stamps from Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, are
Oh
you a
yeah.
drug dealer and
Oh
this
yeah,
and that? And
definitely.
so, you know, it's like this part of the world doesn't know much about Mexico.
Right.
But then what I don't, it's just, I feel like we get judged for a small minority of people. And especially when there was like Trump in the US and things like that, like the Muslim ban. And oh, yeah, you know, are you gonna like let in a few? Like, if, what was his thing? His tweet, he
Yeah,
said, like, if you have a bowl of M&Ms and you know that three of them are poison, are you gonna eat the bowl of M&Ms? And you're like, oh, you're. I will censor myself right now, but and I just find that completely, it's unfair. And then
right.
it was also unfair for me to kind of, in my friend group, people always kind of ask me, oh, and as a Muslim, you know, tell
Yeah.
us, like, as if I am the spokesperson. I never signed up to be the spokesperson of a whole religion. I can
Yeah.
tell you my experience, but
Right.
and so whenever there were these like attacks, every time there's like a terror attack, I swear, I'm like, please, can it not be a Muslim person? Please, can it be a white man? Like, we all
Right.
know he's gonna have mental health problems, you know what I mean? He's a lone wolf, even though he's part of an organization that's like, oh yeah, let's exterminate the browns and the blacks, and you're like, yeah, he's a lone wolf. Like, that's ridiculous, but whatever, like. And so, yeah, no, I mean, I just, that's really one of my problems with
Listeners, this is why I hang out with B, is because the conversations that we have another friend named Musin, he's from Pakistan, and you get B and Musin together, they're just going at it the whole time.
By the way, I would like to say that Musin is a dummy.
Yeah, he is. And he's gonna listen to it. So no, but it like we have amazing conversations because for me, I never had like a real friend from Morocco and then a real friend from Pakistan.
I think you just never had a real friend,
See how you are? I just, right. Hey, my friend group is really small. I have a lot of acquaintances, but friends is a whole other thing.
Do they
So,
live in another country?
yeah, Canada actually. A lot of people from Canada. No, but when I met you, and it was funny because when I first seen you were in the teacher's lounge and it was like you were to yourself. You didn't talk that much. And I would just see you like get your stuff, pack it up really quick and leave. And then once I started to talk to you, I'm like, oh, dude, this lady, she's a spy. Like she knows 20 different languages. She knows about everything.
No,
Pop culture.
I love pop culture.
Okay, what's the coolest thing about pop culture that you like?
I think what I like about it is that it unites us. Like, meme culture for me is amazing. Like, I can send a meme to someone in the opposite side of the world who maybe does not even understand English, but
Right.
like, you explain it and they're
Which
like,
we do all day
relatable.
together.
Exactly. That's,
Yeah.
I only have
Except your
an.
stupid cats. I'm like, she's gonna end up being an old lonely cat lady if she doesn't stop sending those
Okay,
things.
listeners, I am not an old
No,
lady cat.
you're not. You're not.
Oh
But it
God.
just seems that must come up on your feed.
It's really annoying. It's like the algorithm. It's like, okay, I like some cat videos, and now that's all it's like suggesting. So I don't know how to get out of it. Like I looked at one Kyrgyz like wrestler thing, and now I get constantly
Thank you.
bombarded like with wrestling stuff, and I'm like, I don't even like this, you know?
Because Busha or B, she's really into UFC.
Oh.
And she's like, one day she comes in and she's like, Mario, we need to go to Dagestan. And I'm like, dude, there's like war. It's probably not safe. No, we should go. I know how much you like wrestling, UFC, Khabib, you know? And so joke, like I told my mom about it, she's like, Mijo, it's probably not a good idea
It's not
that
dangerous
you and
at
your friends would
all.
go to Dagestan.
There's no war there. It's Chechnya where there's the
I
war.
would just like to go and I'd probably get my butt kicked, but at least like wrestle a Dagestani
Dude,
dude.
I would love to watch that and film it and put it on World Star.
Right. No, I would just like to go and just try it, just to be like
Yeah.
at least I wrestled a
I just
Dagestani.
want to go meet Hasbulla, you know, the little
Yeah,
guy.
the did you
Yeah.
see the one, the reel with Mike Tyson?
No.
Mike Tyson thought he was a little kid, and so he picked him up and he was like kissing him on his ear and like tickling him. Dude, I'll send it to you. It's
Oh my
hilarious. My
God.
friend John, he sent it to me. He's like, dude, Mike Tyson thinks he's a little kid. It's hilarious.
Oh
I
God.
like it, and this is how our conversations go. We
Yeah.
usually start with Ramadan, and now we're like on Tyson and Hasbulla.
You're just scared to travel. You're just American. That's why. You gotta get the Mexican out of
Okay,
you.
well, first of all, I'm not afraid to travel because I've been to some pretty crazy countries. And
Like what?
yeah,
Cancun?
no,
Wow.
only
How was
like,
Jen Aniston?
right? Only like, let's see, Bangladesh.
Okay,
But yeah.
yeah. Bangladesh is like poor. It's not dangerous. You know what I mean?
Try the jungles of Bangladesh.
Yeah, but the
It's
animals are dangerous, not the people.
true,
Like, what
for
are you
sure.
gonna
They
get?
have king cobras and Bengal tigers. It was
Yeah.
pretty nuts. Let's see what other country was pretty interesting. Nepal was cool, but it
But it's
wasn't
not
dangerous.
dangerous. Yeah,
No.
they're just
I would
saying
say Bangladesh.
kumbaya, you know?
Yeah, they love everybody. It
Yeah.
was
See,
actually really
there
cool.
you go.
So,
Hey,
yeah,
don't
I
be
guess
afraid.
I don't know. I don't know about dogs,
Most
especially when
countries
I
that people think are dangerous, they're not that bad. I mean, okay, yeah, of course, I'm not gonna go to Afghanistan. I'm not telling
Hello,
you
you're from
that.
Morocco. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay.
I'm
Shots fired.
joking. I'm joking.
How's
Okay.
Mexico doing, huh?
Dude, right now Biden's killing Mexico.
Is he even aware of where Mexico
I don't think
is?
so. I
Is
don't think so. But Mexico got put like on the top, one of the top five lists for terrorist acts because of the cartels.
But okay, honestly speaking, like the cartels, wasn't it? I
Yeah.
mean, if the US wanted to shut down the cartels, but
Dude, you know this. It's all about money, man.
there you go. So, I mean, yeah.
It's just like with Putin. Like, it was funny when I went to the Netherlands. My
Yeah.
uncle is like, why hasn't the CIA just killed this guy? You know? And I'm like,
Yeah.
there's a reason why.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he has it. And I could be wrong. I don't
No, I
know.
don't think. I mean, Putin, apparently he travels around with like a body double and
Right.
like he has crazy security. I mean,
Yeah,
he's
and
really
he's
paranoid.
ex-KGB.
Yeah,
Like, he's
exactly.
trained very well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think CIA could reach out and touch. I think they reach out and touch a lot of people, you know,
Yeah.
and mess with a lot of countries. So I
Yeah. I
think
mean,
they're.
Latin America, my God.
Dude, Venezuela is crazy.
It's not just Vin like the
Yeah.
whole, like everything that has happened in Latin America
Yeah.
because of like.
Constantly in revolutions.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. My aunt, she married a Nicaraguan, a guy from Nicaragua,
Yeah.
like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, craziness. This is crazy stuff, you know? But okay, back to we went on a bunny trail. Oh, Ramadan.
Okay.
So what does your fast look like? Like, when does it start? When does it end? How does it end?
Basically, it starts sunrise, so you have to eat before the sunrise, and
Tell
then.
me about that, because I think it's funny, because
Oh
some of my
God.
students, they
Yeah.
wake up really early.
Yeah, you
They
have to.
eat like at what time do you wake up to eat?
So I have to prepare my food because I don't have my mama making the
Oh.
food for me. So I wake up at around 4. So an hour before, get the food ready. I
Is
eat.
there a certain food that you have to eat or you should eat? Because I know breaking iftar, is that what it's called? Yeah, breaking is like dates, water.
So it's dates, but
Okay.
then it varies from culture to culture, to from country to country. So
Okay.
us, we usually have a soup. We have like this little milkshake with like milk, a banana, and apples. And actually, one of the things is that it's supposed to be a modest table. You're not supposed to fill your table with a bunch of food. Because, first of all, not all of it is going to get eaten. So you're wasting food. And being humble is a big thing in Islam. And so you're just supposed to have a simple iftar. It's not supposed to be a feast every time, you know? Because it's also for you to put yourself in the position of people that are less fortunate than you.
I
So all
see.
of this is like people that like go hungry the whole day, you know, homeless people, whatever. And so it's also that, like, we're very lucky in the sense, you know, when your meal is gonna happen. These people, they don't know, you know? And so usually, so you have sunrise, and then sunset, which is around here like 7:30. And then you can eat at 7:30. So usually after you eat, you go to pray, and it takes about half an hour. You go to the mosque, and then you come back, you sleep, then you wake up. You wake up, you have to actually, technically, you're supposed to go to the mosque. You pray for like, I think, an hour, 45 minutes.
Is there a certain prayer that you pray?
No, so you basically are doing the Quran. You're trying to do the whole, like every time they do a specific parts of the Quran.
I see.
And so, yeah, so that's basically it. And then we have this very, very special day, the night of the 27th. It's called Destiny Night. And basically, they say that this is the time where God is writing your destiny again. Like, you know, so if you are praying in the mosque, you can ask God for everything that you want, and maybe He will fulfill it. And so usually people pray the whole night from like 7:30 until 5. Or you can take breaks, or you know, and they say that the angels, they come during like the morning, during like the sunrise. That's when your prayers are heard the most, let's say. And so it's a really great experience.
Well, you invited me to, well, Moose had invited us to break fast during Ramadan, and it was a beautiful experience, man. Like, I never was a part, I've heard, but I was never a part of iftar, right? So I was never a part of it. And then when I went, and then you said the beautiful prayer. So is that a specific prayer that
It's
you guys pray?
you know how, I don't know if you guys have this in like Christianity, but like when you eat, you're always supposed to say in the name of God. So it's like when you guys say grace, I guess, right?
When we pray.
But us, we just say it to ourselves. We don't need to, you know, we don't hold hands and say a
Oh,
whole
I
thing.
see.
You just say it and you eat. And then when you're done, you say thank God, kind of.
Okay.
And so basically, that's just you just say like a thank you to God for being able to fast. For and hoping that God will accept your fast and that you were pure of thought and that you were pure of intention. And so that's
Could
the
you say it
thing.
in Arabic?
Oh my God, it's
No, it's
weird.
okay.
Like what, the whole
Not the
prayer?
whole prayer, like just a couple of bars.
Okay. No, okay, I'll just say like you say Bismillah, Allahumma laka somt wa ala rizqika aftart, and then you continue and then you say Alhamdulillah, and
What
it's
does
about
Hamdulillah mean?
Alhamdulillah, it's like thank God.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember, well, you prayed it and then I repeated. That was really cool. And then,
That makes you a Muslim now. You've converted.
my mom would die. No,
No,
I'm just
don't
kidding.
worry.
I know, my mom's like, what? And then after we did our Father, we prayed,
Then
Christians that were there, we prayed our Father. And but I think it was a beautiful day. It was nice because it was like, I was telling my mom, I was like, dude, like, I have really good Muslim friends that I actually love and care for, and so, and that's the cool part is like in Jesus's teachings, he's like, love your God and love your neighbor. And if we do those things, then it's going to cover the other 10 from the Old Testament, which you guys also, you know, believe in as well. And so, no, it was just a cool experience, man. I was like, and we're supposed to break. Are we going to have it at your house this time or what?
Yeah, we'll have it at my place.
Nice, nice. What are you going to make?
But for example, like when Muhsin was doing his prayer for his mom, usually we would have like a dua, as we say.
What is
and
this?
And then a dua, it's like kind of a prayer, like how can I explain it? Like you ask something of God, like, oh, let's all together, like, and you kind of put your hand, your palms, like as if in the form of a book. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of speak into it and you say like, may God, you know, like, I don't know, you can ask for anything. Mm-hmm. And then everyone, the thing is that when everyone is joining in, it's like, it's more powerful.
Oh, I see.
It's all about like community, you know, it's very, very important in Islam. Uh-huh. And Ramadan is a big family thing, you know. But unfortunately, it hasn't gone so mainstream as like Christmas, because I mean, it's a bit more difficult to like say, hey guys, don't eat, don't like drink.
Yeah, especially during Christmas. That's right. When we do our most damage to our bodies. We're like, no. Christmas, Thanksgiving,
Sorry. But so it's a big family thing. And it is, of course, it's the time where I miss my family the most. That's like,
really?
Yeah, of course, because Christmas, we don't care. Oh. I don't care about New Year's. I really don't, you know, a lot of the celebrations. So
like your Christmas is like Ramadan.
Yeah, kind of, because you're all in it together.
Yeah.
And so, for example, in Morocco, it's actually illegal as a Moroccan for me to eat in the street during Ramadan. Yeah.
Wow.
When you're a Moroccan, you are born a Muslim automatically.
Wow.
And so you have to respect the rules. Mm-hmm. But if you're a foreigner, it's fine.
See, and that's what I get too. It's like they are ready. Like if you're a foreigner, they're like, oh, he's probably Christian.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. They don't care if you're a foreigner.
Yeah. But and if you're from there,
then it's another story. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think that's really interesting. I had a question about, and I just totally forgot. Okay, so some of the things that I find interesting, because at school, a lot, like a lot of the kids, they practice Ramadan.
Yeah.
And they're half asleep in class. They're like, he's fasting, mister.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my, like more than half of the class.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking like fifth graders.
Yeah.
And so I did it with, I fast with you guys a couple of times, and it's again from sun up to sundown, and I didn't eat, and I was like, dude, like, I don't know if your breath is humming during, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting, but it was cool. I think, like you said, with community. Even at the school, you know, people, they all ask, oh, are you fasting?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, you're Muslim. I'm like, no, you know, I'm doing it with my friends and for my own spiritual belief. Yeah. I'm a Christian. They're like, oh, okay. So yeah, no, but it's huge community, man. I didn't know that about Ramadan.
So my students, they do it. Some of them do it. And I actually make a conscious effort every time I've been a teacher like here, I make it's a point to not tell them I'm doing it, because when you're a teacher, you're an authority figure, and I don't want them to feel like if they're not doing it that they're not good, you know.
Yeah.
And so every time I've had the question, you know, a kid asked me, and I was just like, oh, I don't know, maybe no, but you know, because I don't want to lie, but I'm just trying. I kind of try to change the subject. And I had one kid who doesn't even do it, but because his friend is doing it, ended up doing it. And then his mom calls me and she's like, yo, why is my kid like always hungry? And I'm like, oh, doesn't he fast? And she's like, no. So, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll make sure that he eats.
There's that big of an influence, especially in school.
Yeah.
And the other day, usually I play music in my class, and the kids are like, sir, it's Ramadan. Mr. Mario, it's Ramadan.
It's
and I'm
true.
Like, oh, you can't listen to music?
No.
And they're like, no. I'm like, but you could play video games. And they're like, yes. I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, I think technically video games shouldn't.
I'm not trying to throw
shade,
but
I'm
trying to understand.
It's the whole distraction thing. When you listen to music, you kind of escape, right?
Yeah.
You don't think about reality. And so it's this thing of like, well, your brain is going to be consumed by something else different than what you're supposed to be thinking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so even video games, technically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't do that to kids. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
I totally understand. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're at 44, man.
Okay.
44 minutes. So, last question. Something cool that you've experienced during the season of Ramadan.
Something cool.
Yeah, or interesting. Or...
I think...
Maybe the listeners would want to know. Yeah, is it just
maybe like they don't want to know. No, I'm joking. I think that I'm always pleasantly surprised at how easy it is. Like, it's just a no-brainer. Like, I never get tempted by food. I never, like, there's someone in front of me eating, like, a nice big meal. I won't get tempted.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I will never break the fast.
Okay.
And
I have a question for you.
Okay,
but go ahead,
tell me.
Okay. I don't think that you would break fast either.
No, I wouldn't.
I mean,
I think it's just so ingrained that, like, mm-hmm. it's crazy because...
What, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think food is it for you.
No, it's fine. Like,
but what about
cussing?
Yeah,
yeah. Just say
what
it.
About what about cussing? Like, is that the temptation? You know, where you're okay. Like Ramadan. No, I'm
actually, so a lot of the things that happen in Ramadan is that. So you're supposed to be a good person, right? You're not supposed to, like, get angry too much. You're supposed to kind of be patient.
Patient.
I'm not a very patient person.
No, you
but
don't.
But I am impressed that, like, the fact that you and my other friends have, like, noticed a difference. I feel like I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
And the thing that I kept asking myself is, well, maybe I can be like this for the rest of the year and forever, you know?
Yeah.
But then that would just take away from my... amazing charm and charisma. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
We wouldn't want that to happen.
Gotta give the people what they want.
Right.
But I mean, I think that it's a great thing where, like, it pushes you to adopt good habits.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, okay, maybe you will adopt them for the rest of the year. Maybe you won't. But at least you kind of did it for a short amount of time.
Right, right.
And actually, one of the things that you're not supposed to do is, like, you know, gossip and things like that.
I read that. Like,
and gossip. So that's actually one of the things that I struggle with the most, because I really want to know the gossip.
Yeah, you're really intrigued by
I have to admit, so that's one of the things that's really cool in Ramadan. And really, I think that people really underestimate themselves. Like, anytime someone is like, oh my god, I can't, no way, like, water, I cannot, I just think it's like, I think your listeners will, like, understand this. When your faith, when you believe in it, when you, even if you don't believe in it as, like, a Muslim, but if you just believe in the concept of it, of, like, okay, I'm going to cut out, like, the distractions. I want to cut out all the noise around me.
Right.
I think it's a great time to kind of do that. You put pause on your life and...
No, I do that as well, too.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, I intermittent fast,
yeah.
But it's also done for spiritual. And but there's other things that I cut out as well in my fast.
Yeah.
Things that distract me from God. Things
mm-hmm.
that, whether it's being online or the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because I love American baseball.
My God, that's so boring.
No, I'm telling you, you got to go to Dodger Stadium. It's amazing.
It's just an excuse to get drunk and eat hot dogs.
To eat hot dogs, yes, but you don't have to get drunk. And it's just people watching. It's amazing.
So you just watch people?
I'm a people watcher naturally.
Oh my God, you're such a creep.
Wow, thank you. I'm a people watcher naturally,
mm-hmm.
not judging them, but just watching, like, seeing how they interact.
What kind of people are you watching, Mario?
Is it
the male gender or the female gender?
Here we go. No, actually, I sent you the video.
Uh-huh.
There was this kid that had Down syndrome.
Yeah,
it was his birthday,
yeah.
And the whole crowd sang happy birthday to
how
him.
How attractive was his mom?
Wow. I didn't see how you are. I did not see the mom.
Sure.
No. But it was. It's great people watching.
I'm okay.
You just, there's fights. There's food. There's baseball.
Go to an airport.
Go to an airport. I guess.
Go at their arrivals.
Hey, traveling, like, I'm just done with airports.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
They're fun.
No, it's the time. It's a 14-hour flight from Istanbul to Los Angeles.
Oh, cry me a river. I get like a 20-hour layover in Istanbul, and I'm not even that far. Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm from Africa.
True, true. I just looked at the flights going home. It's like $1,500. And then there was a layover in Istanbul for like, it was an hour and 15 minutes. I'm like,
you can do it.
I'm not going to even
try. Yeah, you can.
You're crazy because you don't like to plan anything. And I don't say that in a bad way.
No, it's true. I don't plan.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just, yeah.
See, that's where
I plan for everything.
That's where like your Mexicanness has, you know, kind of disappeared. Yeah. You're on time. Yes. You plan things.
Yes. Two weeks in advance. Love
see?
It.
Like,
I plan for you to be late. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to get mad at her.
Yeah.
This is just B. This is what she does. Like, you
I
know.
Don't know why, but yeah. I mean, even at work, I'm constantly late.
Yeah. I was late one time and I felt horrible.
And I'm like, oh, you know, amateur hour. Come on, man. Yeah, like, it's fine.
Dude, I can't stand being late. It just drives me up. And in Asia, like, I'm sorry, but a lot of people, they don't plan.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love it here.
Oh, gosh. It drives me up the wall.
It's just great.
Well, because you're the friend who's like at 9:30 at night. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I already have like my pajamas on. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. You're like, let's go hang out somewhere. I'm like, no.
Because
like,
I'm napping, okay? I'm doing the siesta. Right. Isn't siesta a thing in Mexico?
Yeah, it is. But I have, you know, I have sleeping problems. Yeah, so yeah, it's that's like.
True. Yeah, because you drink coffee at 9 p.m.
I didn't think it affected my life. I've been doing it forever. The crazy part is because now I'm training for that marathon.
Yeah.
I ran today too. I sleep like a baby.
Well, yeah, that's what exercise does.
Oh my gosh, I can't stand you. And this is why we're at the 51-minute mark. And Rugged 33 listeners, man, I hope you enjoyed the time with me and B. I hope to have her on again. Hey, if you have any questions or feedback, hit me up.
Don't ask. We're not interested.
I want to say
no.
She is actually single.
No. Oh, my God.
She is single. This is going out to the world.
Oh,
she's
God.
Beautiful Arab woman, good friend, intelligent. Let's see what else is. She's funny. She's one of those girls that's like a dude. Like, just lovely stuff. Anyways, but B, thank you.
I hate this so much.
Thank you so much.
I hate you so
Dude,
much.
I hope I get
Please
so...
Please disregard everything I he just said.
You're going to get DM'd now.
Like, no.
So it's going to be like, bling, bling, bling. But anyways, guys, God bless you. B, thanks for coming on.
If you have good cat memes, please send them.
Yeah, see, I told you she's going to be an old single cat lady yelling at kids, get off my lawn. How do you say that in Arabic? Get off my lawn.
Oh, we don't really have lawns. It's Africa.
Oh, true.
I mean.
Get out. And then there's a lot of desert. Sahara Desert, right?
So in the south, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, crazy. Yeah.
So how would you say get out of my yard then? We don't even have yards.
Yeah, you just say, get out. You don't need to
But specify. In Arabic.
Okay, in Moroccan you say, sirf halak.
Oh, wow.
That's the nice one.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we would say, get to Stefan, you know?
Okay, I got it. All right, Reggae 33 listeners, we're out. Thanks a lot. Peace.